Springfield's Talk 104.1. Welcome to the show. My name is Nick Reed. It is a Friday. Kyle Wyatt is going to be filling in for me on Monday. Going to do a three-day weekend, so you will get the benefit of Kyle Wyatt's wisdom. He, of course, has a Saturday show called All Outlaw, and he has been in the news leader lately because, according to them, he's essentially some right-wing individual nut job that's wanting to overthrow local government or something like that. I imagine Kyle will have some commentary regarding that. What it all stemmed from, and it is important, a number of business owners and residents of Springfield have awakened to the reality that the city is not really focused on any meaningful way of helping them as they become victims of crime and as the city becomes more and more crime-ridden. Many of them are in denial. Some of them, I will say, have at least acknowledged that we have a serious problem, but they also say, well, we don't know what to do about it. So, and I know this frustration exists because a number of these people have reached out to me. You know, one of which, he spoke about how he has just been shocked and dismayed because of the way that the mayor has dealt with this issue, and the way that this is an individual who personally knew the mayor well before he was mayor, and the way that he has behaved as mayor has just shocked him. He said, that is not the person that I've known. And there's this tremendous amount of frustration. And I've had people come up to me, they're like, we don't know what to do. The city is ignoring us. The police chief is ignoring us. We're pleading with them. We're telling them, if you do this, we're going to have this problem, and they do it anyway. And so you've got this Queen City watchdog group, and there are some other entities as well that recognize there's a problem here, and they've decided, all right, well, we've got to try to figure this out on our own because the city's either not working with us or even in some instances working against us, and we got to figure out what to do. So they had a town hall meeting. Greene County Sheriff Arnott attended and spoke, according to the article I read. The chief of police did not. The mayor did not. The vast majority of the council did not. Angela Romine, who has definitely earned her place as the one individual that really is on the council as a citizen of Springfield. She attended, and that doesn't surprise me. One of the other council members was there via Zoom, but bailed out, I guess, before they could do any sort of the Q&A. I think it was Hosmer, but I forget, but I believe that may have been who it was. You know, Angela Romine is really, truly an identifier as to the difference of what a council person believes their role is, where she really genuinely is one of the citizens, and she is on that council in order to be one of the citizens. The others demonstrate that they work for the city. The department heads say this is what we need. They figure out how to get it. And the citizens are essentially a pain in the ass. The citizens are individuals that they have to deal with, and they have to try to explain why we need to do this. And, of course, some of them will never listen, so there's no point in even trying, and you're an annoyance to them. They operate much like most school board members do. School board members, for the most part, do not see themselves as citizens that are on a board in order to direct the education of students based on what the community wants, based on what the citizens want. They see themselves as there for the school. And when the school says, we need this levy hike, we need this tax increase, we need this, their job is to make it happen. And if that means explaining to the citizens why it needs to happen, then that's what it's going to they've got it all completely backwards. And it's clear that a lot of city councils are this way. Springfield, again, Angela Romine is the one exception. The city council, they have that same ideology. They are there to market for the city, to the people, why it is that the city needs this, needs that, and so forth. Functionally speaking, really, the council doesn't even need to exist. the way that the city of Springfield behaves. They already have a marketing department. I don't know if that's technically what it's called, but they have, you know, a spokesperson. They have an individual that speaks to the press, to the people. So why we bother with the council, I don't even know. And it is clear that the way that Angela Romine is treated, that the council sees itself as there to work for the council, not the people. Because as soon as somebody comes in, Christy Fulnecki was another example of this, who is there as a representative of the people, you see how they treat her. And then the news leader, which is the lapdog of the city, they jump right on command and they become the attack dog. And you can see it in the way they treat Councilwoman Angela Romine, and the way they treat anyone who is talking about perhaps trying to at least get one more seat on that council that is a citizen seat instead of a, you know, city seat, if you will. Okay, so all that coming from the fact that Kyle Wyatt is going to be filling in for me on Monday. Here's the latest news update. The First Alert forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. A pretty consistent weekend. Sunny today, high of 88. Mostly clear tonight, down to 65. Mostly sunny, 87 tomorrow. Sunday, mostly sunny, 85. And then 88 on Monday. Now, I will say this. Tuesday right now, though it's several days out, there's expected to be a cold front coming through with some rain. So showers currently are likely for Tuesday. With a high of only 76, so we will be cooling off just a bit. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Here's the latest traffic. And my headphones on backwards. Everything sounded in reverse. It was weird. We're at Scramblers. My name is Nick Reed, and one of our best and brightest, it's all relative, of course, Jeremy Womack, and he has been with us before talking about our account executives, and I talk a lot about the importance of our partners on air, people like, I mean, just go down the list, of course, Emily Johnson, we've got Don Carricker, of course, Dustin Atwood and Ryan from A1 Custom Car Care. We talk with Ryan every so often, Dustin co-hosting that show with our very own Sarah Myers on Saturdays. That incredible guest I had on yesterday, which so many people are talking about. You can hear it in the podcast, the 6 a.m. hour yesterday. And, you know, that came from Pyramid Roofing, one of theirs. And that's a guy who Pyramid Roofing, veteran-owned, is able to help save hostages in Afghanistan, both American and American allies, because Pyramid Roofing said, take whatever time you need to do it, that's important. You know, these are the sort of partners we have, and I could go down the list of that importance, but too often our account executives don't get talked about. Those are extremely important roles that we have. They are the ones that essentially make these relationships happen. They're the ones that are out there that find these partnerships, and we've in the past talked about the need to find just the right person. It is absolutely in no way, shape, or form just, you've sold before, you're the right person for the job. This is much different. It's relationship making, it's matchmaking, and it's one of the reasons we're very particular about those that we do choose, and Jeremy's one of them. That being said, there is a new position that we're looking for. Jeremy knows much more than I do. And instead of just running some standard promos like, would you like to work with people that are awesome? You would? Then send us your resume. Thought I'd have Jeremy come on with us, as he's usually. Scramblers is one of his accounts he takes care of. So he comes out here while we're doing the show and tell us a little bit about this position. So how's it going, man?
Good.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me chat about this.
Yeah, you're welcome. Minor, what are you? What is this? What's going on with the phone over here?
I'm just looking at some notes here on this on this position.
So yeah, I have it's a very tightly controlled. It's
very tight. Yes,
I'm telling you.
Well,
it's a very frightening place to work. Everyone, help us now.
Well, here's what I'm thinking while you're talking about this. I'm like, I'm looking at all these notes, and I'm like, a lot of this is your cliche laundry list of, hey, these are the qualifications, mm-hmm. and And you're going to have that.
Right, because there's truth to it.
Yeah, absolutely. But what we're actually seeking is a very, very important position that we have open, that we have not had open since I've worked here. And the last two people that have had this role of sales coordinator, one of them was just simply left because they retired, because they were of retirement age.
Yeah.
And one went to do something completely different, but worked for us for a long time. So this is a position. It's called sales coordinator, and it's someone that they really kind of hold. They're kind of like the glue to our sales department and programming, and making sure that our sales department is being very well organized. We used to call it a sales assistant position, but it's now, we changed it to coordinator because it's so much more important than just simply being an assistant to our sales department. They do a lot of different things. Some of the qualifications that we really think are probably the most important are attention to detail, just being a very organized individual. If it weren't for our sales coordinators in the past, I would not be as organized as I am, because that is not probably my strongest suit. So we do have to have somebody that's, you know, knowledgeable with computers. It is very fast-paced. It is an internal position, so this is not something that
you're out looking on the street.
We're not asking you to go, you know, knock on doors.
You're not selling. You're not an account executive. That's not what you're doing.
No.
You're sort of overseeing. Coordination. Coordinator is actually the perfect word for it.
Yes, I agree. You do have to have good communication skills, because the sales coordinator position does communicate with some of our potentially national clients and things like that. A lot of that being via email, mostly. But yeah, mostly it's an in-office position. Computer skills are really a big deal. Understanding some of the software and technology that your typical Windows computer is important, like Excel and PowerPoint. They keep us on track in terms of keeping track of what we have, honestly, sold sponsorship-wise and what we don't have sold. They build packages for us. Super, super important position. And they work and they keep us in line with not just KSGF, but our other three stations, KTTS, Power 96.5, and 106.7 The River. So literally for all four stations.
You know, I guess to some degree it would almost be, if somebody has been a traditional office manager, if they have the skills, it's not exactly the same. But the reason I mention this is because it is somewhat of a unique position, in the sense that it's dealing with radio and media. And so if you haven't ever been in that medium, you're like, well, that doesn't make sense to me. I can't identify with it. But I would think an office manager type situation is similar.
You don't need to have any media experience.
Right. Yeah, because you mentioned, like, you say building packages. Somebody's like, I don't even know what that means, so I don't qualify. No. If you somebody that has managed, because you're managing people and coordinating, and it's a unique position.
Yeah, it is
unique. But you don't need to know media, like you said.
It's kind of like, hey, you know, like you got someone like me who's busy, 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 and I don't have something, you know, in place or in order in our system that actually makes things happen on air, then that sales coordinator would be like, Jeremy, you know, you need to get with the program. Where's this, and that?
Yeah.
And so it's fast-paced. Technology driven, in terms of working with, you know, your major office suite stuff on a PC. And, but at the same time, it can be very fun. It can be very fun. You get to work with aspect of our station.
We have great people. We really do. I know a lot of places say that, but we really do.
Yes, absolutely.
I work there.
I do too.
So, I mean, right there.
Yes. We have fun. We work hard, but we also play hard.
Yeah, that's very true. And also, you mentioned a number of characteristics. If you don't steal, then you qualify.
If you don't steal, yes.
At least from your employer. I mean, if you steal from your neighbors or family, that's different. We don't want to, you know, that's your personal life. But yes. As long as you don't steal from your employer, we're good.
Yeah, absolutely. And be willing to learn new things, because we do have systems that they're not a system that you're going to find out there at any other position. So willing to learn is a big thing as well, and not everybody is you know, willing to learn new things. So, but that is an important aspect I wanted to mention.
And then final question, am I going to have to save this audio and send it to you and copy Anne?
Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure I knew what I... It saves you the email later.
If you are interested in something like this, or you know somebody who is, because this could be great for somebody that is... quite frankly, somebody who is a graduate of, like, had a marketing degree or advertising degree, or interested in digital advertising and marketing, could be a really great opportunity for somebody like that. But contact Ann, I'm going to say Ann Fisher because she recently was married and I cannot pronounce her last name.
I haven't even tried.
Okay. So it's,
I see it once in a while, I'm like, eh, forget about it.
So, but it is Ann. She's our general sales manager. And you can reach her, and I will give you, I'll say her email address because I know it will get there. It's Ann.Fisher at Summit Media Corp. Fisher's just like Fisher Price.
Okay.
So Ann.Fisher at summitmediacorp.com.
And it's A-N-N-E.
Yes. Or you know what? Just call us, and we'll get you transferred to her and chat.
Or you can email me. Nick.Reed@KSGF.com. That may be the easiest for people listening. Just do that, and I'll get you set up with whomever you need to get.
And we have a careers page on KSGF as well. So there's a lot of ways to get to us. But, yeah, just come talk to us.
All right. Excellent. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. You bet. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. We got traffic coming up in just a couple of moments. Ryan from A1 Custom Car Care is here with us. We're talking about your piloting adventures.
That's right.
I know, becoming a pilot.
Yep. Yep. It's all about planning. And
you are a master. I feel you. You feel you segueing this into
just a little
your
just
hack
a little
for
bit.
Us this morning. You're very good.
So that's one of the things that we learn is that. You have to plan everything ahead, and you have to plan for eventualities. You know, what if the weather gets bad? What if you get to the airport you're going to and they've shut down a runway? I mean, you know, you need to have plans for things so that you're not just stuck in the air going, oh, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And we forget that it's the same way with trips. And we're getting into, you know, the holiday season.
Right.
We're going to be heading towards Thanksgiving and that sort of thing. And a lot of times we get so wrapped up in the planning for what are we going to pack, who's going to ride where, what's going to... You forget about the vehicle, and a lot of times that's why you have a breakdown that you don't want at the least convenient time, and it's because you haven't planned for that. So a lot of times what I end up doing, and this is what I would recommend, is give yourself a little extra time. Have something where you're doing an oil change a little earlier, something like that, where you can get the vehicle checked out before it's like the day before you have to leave. Mm-hmm. You know, do it a little bit early. And then the other part of it is, if there are things that you're having troubles with now, you probably should go and have those looked at now before it's, oh yeah, that thing.
Right.
And then you're trying to make your trip and then you're stuck and nobody can fix it on your time frame.
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
it when you can do it on your time frame. That's the biggest thing.
Especially if you are in a multi-person house. I've talked about this before, and like, for example, in my home, it's my job to take care of the vehicles. And if something goes wrong and you know you are going for a staycation or you're going to go to the in-laws and something goes wrong, something that potentially could have been prevented because of routine maintenance, it's your fault.
Yep.
That's not a good thing to have to deal with on the side of the road.
No. Happy spouse, happy house. That's the rule of thumb.
The kids and the animal, everybody, even the animals are turning against you in that situation. You don't want that. All right. Well, as always, thank you so much. Appreciate great advice. Smart. I know it isn't always the funnest thing. You think, oh, it's not fun to necessarily set time aside to do that, but that takes a lot less time than it does on a Saturday calling a tow truck to come get you, and then you got to haul everything out of your vehicle and put it in some rental vehicle.
Yep.
And that's much more expensive, and it takes a lot more time.
Yeah, all exactly. Right.
Very good, Ryan. Thank you, sir. A1 Custom Car Care. All their contact info, location, and more under Nick's endorsements at KSGF.com. And now the latest traffic.
The
Let's take a look at the First Alert forecast sponsored by Hanson's Tree Service. It is going to be a sunny day, sunny weekend, in fact. High of 88 today, 65 tonight, 87 tomorrow, sunny on Sunday, 85, and Monday, sunny, 88. Monday. Then we're going to see a cooler front come through, chance for rain on Tuesday, only in the mid-70s. Monday, Kyle Wyatt will be filling in for me. I will be back on Tuesday. Let me tell you what I am very, very, very encouraged. It is just a tiny, tiny, smaller than a pinhole light at the end of the tunnel. When it comes to reversing this trend against free speech that is being pushed by the left. And they're becoming more and more comfortable with it. As I mentioned, Elizabeth Warren, I mean, she is one of the most high-profile Democrat U.S. senators, and openly calling on Amazon to ban books that she doesn't approve of their information when it comes to COVID specifically. Of course, the White House has acknowledged that they give, quote, guidelines to social media on people that they should ban. And this has been a partisan issue for some time now, because it's the conservatives, it's Republicans, it's the Trump supporters, it's virtually everyone except people on the left who have been the targets of this censoring. So people on the left either like it, or they may be uncomfortable with it, but they also don't feel comfortable coming out and protesting, if you will, against it, because they see what happens to people who do that. You know, they don't want to get destroyed by their own people. There have been some instances in which people that are expected to be on the left, expected to be Democrat, have broken away a bit. And I think that it has given glimpses of the ability to break away. Kanye West, I'll use as an example. Kanye West broke away. He stood up and said, listen, you don't have to be a Democrat just because you're black. The Democrat Party does not own us anymore. You know, that was a long time ago when they owned black people. And there are many who heard that message. Now, of course, you saw what happened. The left wanted desperately to keep that message stamped down. They didn't want people to believe that, to understand that. And so that's done to keep people in line to some degree. Now, where we are today with this COVID stuff and Nicki Minaj. Nicki Minaj, for all that she has contributed to our society in the entertainment industry, many of which, you know, much of which some people like, some people think it's awful, it's horrible. But she is continuing to fight for the right to speak your mind and to not be bullied. And it all has to do with this COVID stuff. And it began where she tweeted out that she was still studying COVID, and a friend of hers in Trinidad had a cousin that got COVID, and, you know, it made him impotent, made his testicles swell up, and then his fiance kicked him to the curb. So she wasn't sure about it. Well, it started with Joy Reid on MSNBC railing on her for having that belief. Well, she fought back. Now, let me tell you what is great about what Nicki Minaj is doing. She's not fighting over whether or not you should take the COVID vaccine. In fact, her position is everybody should do what they want to. Everyone should do their research. Everyone should make their own decision. But she's not arguing over whether or not what her cousin or her friend or her friend's cousin or whomever it was, what they said was legitimate. She's not deep searching, trying to find other examples of it. She is pushing back against being bullied. And she's pushing back against the idea that she, as a human being, is being told that she should not be able to think for herself and express those thoughts, to freely have that conversation out loud with other people. That is the right discussion. Too often we allow ourselves to get distracted over what the subject matter is here. And Nicki Minaj is straight on with this. Now, Randy Jackson. You may recall the name Randy Jackson. While he has been very influential in the music industry, most people learned of Randy Jackson with American Idol. He has thrown his support behind Nicki Minaj. He tweeted out to his hundreds of thousands of followers, "I support and echo at Nicki Minaj's intelligent advice to use prayer, critical thinking, not be bullied, into making a very important decision about your body and personal choice." He said, "It is a sad day in America when we are censored, canceled, and ridiculed for exercising our God-given freedoms." Now, I don't want anyone to misunderstand and think, oh, yes, finally, the cancel culture is over. Yes, finally, the left is, you know, the backlash is occurring. The anti-freedom of expression, freedom of thought, freedom of conversation, you know, that is done and over with. That's not the case here. But this is a pinpoint light at the end of the tunnel. And there are strength in numbers. And for Nicki Minaj, when she was standing alone for days, to the point even the White House was coming out, and in her interpretation of it, lying about her. And you're talking about the White House, the President of the United States, who claims if you don't support him, you're not even really black. When you have journalists coming out and attacking you, and she does not apologize, she does not back down. And not only does she not back down, she fights back. She's kind of like Trump in that way. And so here somebody else comes along, Randy Jackson, is like, "I'm supporting her too." And again, he's not talking about the vaccine. And that's what's important here. That's a different discussion. That's a different argument. He's saying that, you know, this should be an individual issue, but nobody should be bullied. Nobody should be canceled. Nobody should be censored because they're expressing their point of view. That is what this country used to be. That's what this country was about. That is how we became more advanced, the ability to have those discussions. That's called being mature and adult-like. But I want to throw out one other thought, because what tends to happen sometimes, and this is the, if you want to call it, the tribalism, somebody like Nicki Minaj will stand up and take a position that conservatives have long held. And so they will say, well, welcome to the party. Or they will say, have these almost expectations that, now you see what conservatives see, so you should now see everything in a conservative lens. Or this is what we internally think. I'm not saying that we externally express this and say, well, see, now you understand that you have a conservative view when it comes to free speech, so you should have a conservative view about everything. I don't think that we should have that expectation. In fact, we should welcome the fact that when somebody like Nicki Minaj takes a very strong position that is the same position taken by conservatives and libertarians, we need to be absolutely fine with the fact that she may be some total left-wing individual with everything else, because what that says is that it is that what we can do and need to do is get back to where people on the left and on the right, there are certain fundamental things that we do agree upon and that we have to agree upon. And one of those is the ability to agree to disagree. One of those things that we want people on the left to believe that you should not try and censor or cancel people because you don't believe in what they're saying. We need people on the left to believe that. And so I don't think that we should expect internally or externally, somebody who's on the left that all of a sudden stands up for this one fundamental belief that conservatives believe to convert. Because if you want to talk about the, you know, the political opposition, it benefits all of us for the political opposition to agree with us on some of these very fundamental human rights. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Add to the long list of Democrat politicians or elites who demand particular behavior when it comes to COVID from the average person, but does not apply it to themselves. That would be the mayor of San Francisco, who is seen maskless, partying with the co-founder of Black Lives Matter, which is in violation of her own orders that people be masks and mask in similar situation. And when Ocasio-Cortez showed up with that tax the rich dress at the Met Gala, we kept hearing about hypocrisy, hypocrisy, hypocrisy. And I said, you know, it's not really, it's not so much hypocrisy. I mean, it is, but it's deeper than that. It is the demonstration of a belief system that they are elites and that they somehow are like superheroes who deserve certain rights the rest of us don't get. It's beyond hypocrisy. So I wanted to share this piece that was published yesterday. AOC's dress wasn't about hypocrisy. It was about America's new social hierarchy, because it goes through and lists and articulates what I was arguing the other day. Does a better job of it. That's why I wanted to share it with you. So Eddie Scari writes, some on the right saw a golden opportunity for A-class mockery when Democratic Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez showed up to this year's annual Met Gala wearing a ridiculous white dress that said tax the rich on the backside. There's nothing to laugh at or make fun here. This is simply another example of those in power, those running our most influential cultural and political institutions, sending a message. There's a new social hierarchy in America, and this one isn't about what you can afford to do, it's about what you are allowed to do. The more important image from the dress saga isn't the one, now memeified a million times over, wherein mini Jenny from the block is seen posing alone, looking back over her shoulder so the text can be seen by the camera. Instead, the important image is the one Ocasio-Cortez posted on Twitter, apparently being fitted for the dress. In the picture, Ocasio-Cortez is not wearing a face covering, but the woman who helped her into the gown is. That's the way this works now. The misery of social distancing and mask wearing during the pandemic, both pushed by Democrats and the experts, are for you, the help, to endure. Not the rich and famous. Not the ones who establish and insist on those rules. Recall that just a few days ago, Dr. Anthony Fauci, the media's favorite sex symbol, lectured Americans about gathering outdoors, the safest place possible, at sporting events. Quote, I don't think it's smart, he said on CNN, before dropping the timeless wisdom about strapping masks to your face even when having gone through the trouble of being vaccinated against COVID-19. Interesting. That was in August, which was the same month that former President Barack Obama, weeks earlier, was seen on video getting amped at an indoor birthday party with hundreds of guests and service staff in Martha's Vineyard. Fauci wasn't invited on national TV to weigh in on that one, or if he was, he declined. Dukes County, where Martha's Vineyard is located, had been on an upward trend of new coronavirus infections since early July, just like almost everywhere else. Why should that particular place be the exception to host a massive indoor bash without masks? Guests at the Obama party were supposedly required to have been vaccinated, but the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention began advising face coverings for even the vaccinated when indoors back in late July. And New York Times reporter Annie Carney was sure to do her part reinforcing our new social order by explaining on CNN that the Obama party attendees were, quote, a sophisticated, vaccinated crowd. You see, it's not enough that you did what you were told was the right thing and got vaccinated. You now have to be sophisticated to enjoy large gatherings. And by sophisticated, they certainly do not mean you. It's been happening over and over again. It was also in August, and that Democrat, Representative Rashida Tlaib, was seen in a video on social media dancing at an indoor wedding in Dearborn, Michigan. She wore no mask, even though cases in Wayne County, where Dearborn's located, were climbing at a quick clip at the time. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren, another one seen in recent weeks, at yet another indoor wedding, beaming for photos with no masks on her face. That event was in New Mexico, where the governor had put in place a universal indoor mask mandate. It started off looking like obscene hypocrisy. Democrat Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot shutting down salons, then getting a handsome haircut. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi visiting a closed stylist in San Francisco against government orders for a maskless primping. Democrat New York Governor Mayor de Blasio overseeing the closure of gyms before heading to a fitness center for a quick pump. Democrat D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser reinstating an indoor mask mandate before attending an indoor wedding reception without a face cover. When it's so frequent and with no penalty, it's no longer a matter of hypocrisy. It's just the way these people think the order is supposed to be. And it's not just masks. Recall Democrat Missouri Rep. Cori Bush calling to defund the police, then retaining her own private security. That's the way she truly believes it should be. The tax the rich dress wasn't a display of hypocrisy. It was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez reinforcing the new hierarchy. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. All right, we got just about a minute, which not nearly enough time, but we'll do what we can. Bill here, how's it going? I haven't talked to you in a few weeks.
Nick's been going great. I've been hiding from you. Yeah, I'm afraid to get on the microphone. So
I doubt that that's the case, but nonetheless.
Yeah, everything's going great. You know, things are moving right along with all your guys' help. Customers seem to be happy. Our veterans are happy. So that's what it's all about. You know.
Well, I mentioned, I think there's a government foreman over there. We got one group here. They have their own banner they started putting up.
That's all
I
right.
I think it's awesome. I love it. Yeah, it's one of the MRA chapters, Missouri Republican Assembly. So it's great to see it.
One of the things we're going to start doing probably early as next week, we're going to start having just an old-fashioned open plate carved roast beef with mashed potatoes beans so for lunch. So we want to make sure people start taking advantage of something like that.
Yeah, I try to remind people that lunch is available too.
Yeah, that hamburger and tenderloin, something's great. So. And again, the staff's great. We're probably a little short in the kitchen, but there's nothing wrong with me having to work a little bit.
Yeah. All right, awesome. Well, sounds good. As always, thanks for having us. Love it. I'm going to keep
coming
back.
Thank you for being here. It's always a pleasure having you in here, and we're looking forward to many, many, many moons to pass over for us to continue this great relationship with your station.
Sounds good. Well, I'll see you next Friday, sir.
Okay, buddy.
Bye-bye. All right. And like I said, I'll be gone Monday. Kyle Wyatt will be in, but I will be back Tuesday. Any of the show you miss, Gun Tech Nix is sponsoring our on-demand section. Glenn Beck's next. I'm Nick Reed.